Good to be here this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you so much for being with us today. We are glad you are here at our church, and we're thankful that you have chosen Lock Haven Baptist Church to worship at this morning. And if you're a returning visitor, thank you again for having confidence in us, and we're glad that you're here. Be in prayer for all those that are traveling. We have some sick this morning of our normal people being here. Be in prayer for them that they will be able to get their bodies well and back in service for the Lord. So we're glad that you're here. Looking forward to what God's going to have for us this morning. Matthew chapter number 14, if you would. Don't forget, coming up just in a little while, is Scripture Day, which is an important day. We have the ability here on church property to print John, Romans, and New Testaments in 11 different languages. And we have a work night every Tuesday, the last Tuesday of every month, at about 6:30, 6:45. We meet in the printing room, which is a building over here. And we correlate, bind, and put together scriptures that have been printed right here. And we get them ready to be shipped out. Matter of fact, Monday we have an order going out of... Tony, you remember how many that was total, that boxes that we put together Friday? Do you remember the total amount of scriptures?
There were 6 boxes and 300.
6 times 300 probably? 1800. About 1,800 scriptures that's fixed to go out right here off the church property, free of charge. Just we do it, and we do it through love offering of God's people. And you're welcome to come out and be a part of that. The last Tuesday even of each month, we meet over there at 6:30, 6:45, and we work for about an hour and a half, maybe about 2 hours, and prepare it, get ready to go out, doing our part for God's Word. Next Sunday is a special Sunday. We'll be taking up an offering for that particular ministry, not your tithes and missions giving normal. This is over and above, so be praying, Lord, what can I give? And I promise you, every penny that comes in goes straight to Scripture. Nobody's playing golf over there. We don't have anything like that. It's going straight to Scripture to get to missionaries, church planters around the world to help them distribute God's Word. And then right after that, we have our Valentine banquet. The teams will be putting on. That's in February the 14th, actually on Valentine's Day. And see one of the teenagers. They'll get you a ticket. You can purchase them. They're $18 for a couple, $10 for a single. If you buy them from a teenager, if you buy them from pastor, they're $22 each. No, I'm kidding. They're $18. So they do a good job. They decorate, they entertain, and they serve all the food. And it's to help them get to camp. And I tell you, man, it is for $18. You get a pretty good deal, a lot of brownie points from your special lady in your life. That'll go a long ways, and you can't eat at McDonald's for $18 anymore. So help the teams get to camp. That is something that you'll enjoy doing. You investing in their lives. We got to get back to paying it forward. I'm telling you, we got to get back. We got to make a difference in the lives of our teenagers and our young kids. We can't wait till they're adults anymore. It hadn't worked in the last 20 years. That worked. We've let them grow up on their own. We haven't spent time with them. Next Saturday, that's why we have our Fisherman Men Club. We meet and once a month. We some of the men in the church. And 3 o'clock, we'll go find us a fishing hole, and we'll fish with some of those young men and spend time with them, showing them how to have a good attitude, showing them how men are to act. And then our beautiful girlhood club. That's another way. The mentorship is in place now. If you want to be part of that mentorship of the ladies, the young ladies in the church, see Sister Lois. That's important. We've got to get back to spending time with the young people. The young people are the church today. Not tomorrow, not 2 months, 2 years. They are the church today. Boy, I enjoyed Brother Hector playing this morning. With the choir and the congregations and the special they put on. That is a blessing. Also, I know we got a lot of announcements this morning, but I got to say this. Brother Jim's starting to work on a Easter cantata, and if you're not part of the choir, like to be part of the choir, Come sing tonight after church. They have practice right after the evening service, and you come back and be a part of that. Get in there and practice right on the beginning. They're just now starting to practice for the Easter cantata. Be singing about our resurrected Savior. So come back and be a part of the choir tonight. And if you play an instrument, come and see one of Brother Jim, Brother Bill, and they'll get you plugged in. What a blessing that was to see all of the instruments taking place this morning. All right, Matthew chapter 14. I'll quit talking right now and get into the Word of God. Enough advertisement there. Good thing Tide wasn't paying me. I went over a lot of time. Matthew chapter 14. Now, I preached from this very passage a sermon about 3.5 months ago. And I spent a lot of time on Peter. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's where Peter, walked on the water there. And so we spent a lot of time looking at Peter. But when I looked at it and I wanted to come back, I wanted to spend a little bit more time in a different area. So Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, if you would. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. I'm going to read all the way to 32. When I get to verse 27, will you please read that verse with me together, verse number 27. All right, let's start reading. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come nigh out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. We're going to talk about the storm today. And as I looked at it, I noticed that this here particular storm was God's vehicle to get close to his disciples. It was his vehicle. He uses different avenues for getting close to us. But this particular event, he used the storm. Now, you have to understand something. There in verse number 22, something had just taken place prior to that. He fed who? 5,000 men, plus women and children, with some fish and bread. 5,000. So it was a great event that just took place. But Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, listen, get on the boat, go to the other side. He constrained them, the word says there. He constrained them to go to the other side. And you can get into a storm, dear friend, while doing right. They were being obedient. Jesus said, look, you gathered up the 12 baskets of fragment, now get on the boat, get to the other side. They did what he said. They got in the middle of the boat. Listen, sometimes, dear friend, problems are not a sure sign of God's displeasure in your life. This was a problem. I don't know about you, but there's no security in a storm, especially in a boat. The boat's tossed to and fro. The Bible says there in verse number 24, in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So this storm was not a gentle storm. It was not like a 15-mile-an-hour wind. It was a wave that was blowing. And listen, there's a purpose for storms that come into our lives. I do believe many times that there are storms that come into my personal life that probably come into your life they are there to keep you from actually sinning. You know, too much time on your hand, dear friend, idle minds, the devil's workshop.
Right.
So I believe personally that there have been times when storms or troubles or trials have come in my life that my hands would not be idle. You know, sometimes we get to sitting around looking at everything we don't have, don't we? We look at our neighbor, we see what they have. We look at our aunt, our uncle, and our brothers and our sisters. And we say, man, look at all the things they have. And we forget about all that we've got by looking at what they have. And I'm telling you, dear friend, that causes us not to be content. And not to be content, dear friend, is a sin. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's just as much a sin as fornication.
Amen.
Sin is sin in God's eyes.
Amen.
Boy, we love it when we jump on the big old open, more immoral sins of society. But when it gets into the house of God, and listen, the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God. So we get to look at it. Sometimes, you know what we do? We get to looking at other churches and seeing what they have and what they're doing and what they're involved in and what's going on there. And what we say, man, the pastor sure looks greener on the other side. Got to be careful. Storms come, dear friend, I think, so God can keep us focused on Him. I believe that storms come in our life also to prepare us for new ministries that we might be getting ready to go into. Well, this is 2015. We have been working and laboring and seeing God bless. Our church is growing and we're seeing lives change. We're seeing homes being touched and children getting involved in the ministry. Well, I think back at the Christmas program that the choir put on, and we had all those kids over here singing. In the kids' choir. They were singing here, part of the Bible club, and they were singing along, and I'm thinking to myself, what if our church was not here? Where would those kids have been? Where would that be? I looked in the choir today, and there were some teenagers in there mixed in, and there were some young adults, some college-age kids, and, oh, listen, I know, 30 years old, we get out there, we come back, and man, we realize, boy, I shouldn't have lived the last 10 years like I did. I better start trying to straighten up. I'm glad that there were some teenagers that are trying and have a place to serve God.
Yeah.
And we have to prepare for those next ministries. And sometimes I believe God brings a storm into our life that we might be in preparation for what preparation? What did He say there in the last parts of the verse? Oh, ye of little faith. Sometimes God's got to let us say, hey, it's not about you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So I believe that storms come in our life sometimes to keep us from sinning. I believe they come to prepare us for ministry. But first and foremost, I believe most importantly that storms come into my life and your life that we may draw nigh to God and we may get to know Him better. Do you understand this here is about a relationship? Religion has long failed. You go back to the beginning of history when religion came out. You know, there at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 10. There was that great tower. They were going to build a city that went up to God. They were going to have a religion that would help them meet God. Listen, it's went bad since then. But I think back even before that. What about Cain and Abel in the Garden of Eden? They were there to offer some sacrifice. Religion didn't work too well there, did it? Ended up somebody getting killed. Somebody's life being taken. Why? Because religion has failed, and we fail to realize that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. So I believe that the storms come in our life that we may draw nigh to Him. What does He say in the New Testament? If we draw nigh to Him, He will flee from us. Does it? He will draw nigh to me. I don't know what storms you're going through this morning. But I know here in this portion and passage of Scripture that Jesus himself said, get in that boat, go over there. Jesus went and prayed. Jesus brought them to a place that they're... Well, how did Jesus know there was going to be a storm? He's God, dear friend. He knew there was going to be a storm. He knew that the waves was going to get up. That tells me that he was mindful of the situation. I think about when a sparrow falls. And the Bible says that he even knows when that sparrow falls. I think what the Bible says about a hair. He knows the numbers of the hairs that are on our head. And he counts them. And he's mindful of us. I think about that song, he knows my name. Listen, dear friend. I'm blessed. I'm glad, Justin, he knows your name. I'm thankful, Brother James, he knows your name. Sister Price, I'm glad that he knows your name. But I am amazed that he knows my name. I am amazed that the God of creation, the God of heaven, knows me personally. I'm thankful that, and I think about it, that he was there praying for the disciples there in verse 23. And he says that in the mountain he went alone and he was praying. He was alone. I think about Moses being up on the mountaintop praying for Israel. But more greater than Moses, I think about Jesus Christ praying for you and I. Well, preacher, when does that happen? 1 John, doesn't it say that he is my advocate? He's there at the right hand throne of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And he turns. What's prayer? Prayer is communication with the Father. He turns to the Father. He says, Father, your son or your daughter, look at them. They love you, but they're living in this body of flesh. There's temptation around them, and they just failed. Would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to comfort them and lift them up and draw them back to you? And he's talking with the Father on my behalf. Yeah, he's mindful of it. In the midst of your storm right now, you're not alone. First off, you have to understand that God knew you were going to be in the storm. Secondly, in the midst of the storm, he's thinking about you. But this is the amazing thing of me. This whole passage. They feed 5,000 men plus women and children. If it is any indication of today, of how it was then, think about your normal church. Normally, you have more women involved in church. I'm being honest with men. We slack on the spiritual slack. Most of the time, women are there. Well, they're involved and they're trying to get. They're dragging the kid from soccer practice to football practice to baseball to band to Boy Scouts to church to Sunday school. They're pulling them, getting them in. And we men were thinking, well, you know, we work 8-12 hours a day. Well, we're just too tired for God. 5,000 men plus women and children. That tells me there had to be realistically close to 10,000 people there. Realistically. Could have been more. A great thing just took place. A wonderful miracle. Jesus said, get on the boat and go. He sent them to where a storm was going to be. He prayed for them. But then the Bible says he went on to them. Is that what it said? They saw him as a spirit. They thought, wow, there's a ghost out there. Look, there's a spirit out there. Jesus came. Listen, in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your hardship, in the very depths of that relationship problem, in the very midst of that financial crisis that you are in the very heartache and heartbreak of the emotional drain of that physical medical event that just took place in your life, whether it's cancer, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's a broken arm, a broken relationship, a daughter arguing with a mother and a father about her future, or a son disrespecting or rebelling, whatever the storm may be, dear friend, God knows you there, and he will come meet you if you'll just stand fast on the Word of God and stand therefore.
Yes.
Quit run in the opposite direction from God and stand there in the midst of the storm and say, Lord, I'm running to you. I need help. Listen, he came to him, walking. You know what he said in verse 27? This is amazing. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Listen, storms are never pleasant. My brethren that preach the Word of God, they stand in pulpits around here and they try to tell their congregation, you know, and the followers that sit under their preaching, and they try to tell them some crazy complimenting story that life's going to be like a bed of roses, that everything's going to be fine, all your marital problems are going to be fixed, all your financial problems, all your health problems are going to be okay. All you got to do is just have enough faith, dear friend. Listen, I am sorry and I apologize on their behalf. They are not being honest with you. Life is not fair. Life is difficult. Marriage is difficult. You're talking about a man and a woman that are contrary one to the other. They both have their own desires. Marriage is not easy. You're going to have problems. Raising children in this life is not easy. I mean, this world is pulling at our kids and trying to get the kids' attention. And you as parents, and boy, I tell you, we make big mistakes as parents, don't we? We need to quit blaming our children for their faults and understand their faults are my failures as a father. It's not them. Well, preacher, I've made so many mistakes. We have a God in heaven who's faithful and just to forgive us of our mistakes. Amen. Our faults and our iniquities. You make mistakes, you go to Him, you admit them, and you realize your mistakes, and you confess them before Him. And listen, He is there to meet you. And he went to him. I'm not sure why in this situation the Lord chose a storm that he could wake up the disciples. You know, perhaps, maybe they saw the great miracle of feeding of 12,000. You know, the Bible says they gathered 12 basketfuls of fragments. That's what the scripture says right there above the passage you read. That in itself should have been a miracle. How many disciples were there? 12. You know, realize there was 12 and there was one of them was eating from Judas, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, ain't that amazing? One of them was even for Judas. That's the mercy of God, dear friend.
Right.
That's where God is. He's trying to make a difference. He doesn't look at the person and say, oh, you old good for nothing snake. I'm not giving you a basket. Wouldn't it have been a good evidence that Judas wasn't on board with everything? If there had been 11 baskets, Judas said, oh, Lord, where's mine? Listen, God reigns on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
He blessed Judas with one so that he might get Judas' attention that, hey, I even love you.
Amen.
Think about the washing of the feet. There was 12 of them up there. Jesus girded himself up. And listen, I don't know the order where they was. I don't know if Philip was there, Bartholomew was there, Matthew. And I don't know where John was. But perhaps Jesus knelt at Judas first. Wouldn't that have been amazing? Perhaps Judas was, I personally believe John was the closest. Maybe Judas was right next to John. And he got down there and washed John's feet. And, you know, maybe he was after Peter because Peter said, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Oh, Judas probably had them popped out there. He probably looked like some of you folks in some of these here toe stores around here. And Lord, don't forget the cuticle there, Lord. I got an ingrown on that right foot. Now be careful there, Lord. And be easy on that one, gentle. I don't know the order. But I do know this. He didn't bypass Judas. He did not bypass Judas. You know what we do so many times? We get around our brother and our sister in Christ. And we start acting like Peter. You remember what Peter did and he visited Antioch? Boy, the Gentiles was all there and everything was good. He was eating some pork and some tuna. He was eating some sausage and everything was going good. And he was living like the Gentiles. And all of a sudden the brethren came from Jerusalem to Antioch and they showed up and Peter withdrew himself. You know, sometimes we get around our brother and we're okay, but if a lost person comes in, we get a little unedged. We get a little disturbed. We get a little bothered that there is somebody that's not in our circle. You know the best way to get them in your circle? Open up your arms and share Christ. There's room for everybody. If Jesus could wash the feet of Judas, dear friends, surely we can share the gospel with a crackhead or a homeless person or a lawyer who needs Christ. It doesn't matter your position of life. You can be rich, poor, it doesn't matter. You need Christ. Jesus went to them and He used a storm in this instance. I guarantee you, if they would have just asked, if the Lord would have said, okay guys, I'm going to send you on this here little trip out on the lake. How would you like me to come talk with you? How would you like me to draw nigh to you? Well, Lord, you know, we could catch some fish and we can grill them up, fry them up, roast them up on the thing, you know, like you said to Peter, come and dine. That'd be a good way, Lord. I'll tell you, I love you. I don't know why He chose a storm. I don't know why He chose a storm in this situation. I don't know why right now you're going through that storm. But I do know this. If you're God's child, you're there because He wants you there. And He will meet you in the midst of that storm. And He will help you in that difficult hour. The vehicle of choice for this situation was the storm. I do know this. When it was all said and done, verse 32, and when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. It's going to be all right. You're going to be okay. If you stay close to the Lord, it's going to be all right. Listen, faith remembers the promise. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Faith remembers the price that Christ paid on the cross of Calvary to bring you into His family. Sight sees the storm. Sight sees the difficulty. Sight sees all the trouble around us. He will bring you through the storm. And I know this, that when you get through the storm, dear friend, you're going to be better off for it. Well, how do you know? Job said, though he slay me. Though he slay me. Listen, hey, Job said, I will come forth as gold. That's much better off than he was. Listen, you're going to be better off. Keep your eye on Jesus through His Word. Through His Word. Dear friend, you will at some point in time reach the shore of safety. You said, preacher, when? Listen, if it's not here shortly, it will be tomorrow. It may be next week. But it doesn't, the time and space does not matter. What we need to understand is that He brought me here. He's mindful of me being in this situation. He will come meet me, and it will get better. Amen. Let's stand our feet.